Positive Perspective, one of the most interesting hours in radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on the scriptures, music, our communities, and world issues. We're broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
All right. You have tuned into Positive Perspective, and I'm Willis Boyd. And the lovely, talented Shante Duncan is not here tonight because of midterms, they call them, right? And Denise Boyd, my lovely wife, will be filling in for her tonight.
Evening.
And tonight in house studio, guests are Norris Evans and his lovely wife, Angie.
Glad to be here.
Okay.
And
so what we're going to do is this man and I, we have a lot of history. And, you know what, too? We got some other guests over here. Just some people that came in from off the street corner. But that's all right. That's all right. So anyway, Mr. Evans and myself, we go back a ways. And tonight is a night that you know, I'm just going to reminisce and, you know, go back with him and appreciate, you know, what he's done. He's produced a lot of, you know, my early stuff, you know, puppet shows and that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, since Shante was bogged down with so much homework and everything, we were not able to get any of that material to listen to. But we do have a special treat, maybe a surprise for everybody. All right, Mr. Evans, I'd like to talk about Positive Light Ministries in its early days. Do you remember those days?
I absolutely do.
And what do you remember?
Well, first of all, I remember this guy who came over to my studio, which was in my house at the time, was telling me that he did puppet shows. And that was kind of interesting for me because I had never worked with anyone who did puppet shows. And so I didn't even know how to take that.
Did you look at me like I was a dummy or something?
Well,
a dummy with the puppet that you didn't...
No, I was just... Well, first of all, I was trying to envision you doing a puppet show.
I got
so
you.
That was a hard thing to get through my head.
Well, wait a minute. I was a lot buffer then, though, right? I was buff, well, remember? I was kind of buff, right?
Well, you're still kind of buff, at least compared to me, you know. I'm bluff. he's still buff.
Okay, but that's what you were trying to make the trend, you know.
Yeah, because you didn't look like a puppet guy, first of all.
There you go.
All right, so, but I'm entertaining the thought, you know, okay, we're doing some music for a puppet show. So, and I don't know if you remember, I never saw the puppet show until you guys did the last rehearsal. So I did all this music and had never seen the puppet show. And I was blown away. Mm. It just captured my heart, especially the things that you was doing. First of all, Willis was using this to empower young people, you know, to teach them life values and stuff. And you got to understand, he was explaining that to me. And I'm like, well, how all is this going to relate to doing puppets? And then I saw it. It was the most beautiful thing, seeing the music and everything come together. So... yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and your wife, Angie, she participated and sang and did all kinds of stuff. So we'd be at the house working for hours and on all kinds of stuff. So,
well, Angie and the kids, a lot of times, were sitting down like, Norris, how much longer is it going to be? It was getting late as night's going on. You guys were working and working, and the girls were falling asleep on the couch, you know, and we just kept saying, well, here, have something more to drink or to eat or something like this, and you guys keep working.
Okay, do you remember Lupe?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yes.
She was on the show, what, about 2 weeks ago?
Or 3 weeks ago.
Wow. And, okay.
So we were reminiscing about how you had to teach her how to sing. And, I mean, you had, like, some techniques that were incredible, but, I mean, she could not sing. And you taught her, and it's unfortunate that we could not get the piece that you taught her to sing tonight. But Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and the poem with positive light, which you have, this lady here, this beautiful lady with a very powerful, beautiful voice. You kept telling me, just let Angie do it. Just let Angie do it. But you didn't really get the concept of what it was about. It was about not sounding professional, but like you said, empowering people
to create.
And reach farther than what they thought they could do.
That's right.
From way down in and stuff.
And then seeing the end results of it, and it was, you know, very rewarding to kids and also adults.
That's right, yeah.
So, anyway, tell me about producing and how you get into that, or how did you get into that?
I got into producing first of all, I never wanted to be a producer.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I wanted to do was write songs.
Mm.
Back in the day before you had all this technology, you had to have real musicians. And real musicians wouldn't respect you unless you, at least the ones I was around, unless you actually played an instrument and you was good at it. So I had to learn to play piano. I had to learn to play saxophone to gain the respect, and then finally I can get a group of musicians in the studio. Now, I didn't know that was called production, you know, bringing a group of musicians together and telling them what they're doing until later somebody told me I can make some money at doing it, and then I guess that's when they got
attention. The light came on.
You know, so, but I consider myself more of a mentor nowadays, showing a lot of young people the art of production, because with technology, a lot has changed. Like the things that we used to know, like for example, and not knocking up some of the beat makers out there and guys that produce now, like DJ Mustard or DJ Quick. But back in the day, okay.
Wait a minute, you forgot DJ Sandwich.
DJ.
Oh, that was just a little joke. What are they? A rapper joke? Or go ahead. Sorry, Norris.
But, you know, there's probably some young person out there say, hey, I'm going to take the name DJ Sandwich, okay? But back in the day, production was more of the person who was supervising everything, bringing all the pieces together. So when I came up under the producers that were before me, like Doug Lambert, which was my mentor, you hired a horn arranger, you hired a string arranger, you hired a singing voice arranger, and then you hired a rhythm arranger. And so I started off as the horn arranger, being that I played saxophone, okay? Well, nowadays, you got synthesizers doing everything, so you don't have the guy that's supervising those parts. And so I think, to some degree, they miss a lot of the art of production. You know, first of all, you get other people's opinion or interpretation of your music or the music that you're trying to bring to fruition. Okay, so what I try to do is put the younger people in that position to see that perspective of music, which is getting kind of lost, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when you get a guy, they were showing this guy on BET Awards, and he had a record contract on a hit or a song that he made with his phone.
With the iPhone, yeah, yeah.
And he's on stage holding an iPhone, going like this, and I'm like, you're not even moving your feet, man. You know, I mean, would you pay? But I'm just saying, they're paying our, I don't know, I think it's computer generated, but you have the DJs, and they're up there just going like this, and they got like 50,000 people in the crowd, and they're just up there playing music going like this. And would I pay like money to see that? And my point is I guess what you're saying is young people are like, they're missing out. You know, they're not, are there performances or, you know, everything's getting like Jetsons, you know, or.
Well.
I mean, what do you think about
okay,
that?
Okay, here's my perspective. Okay, first of all, I want to make the statement that every generation has its own.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
When me and you were coming up, okay, there was Earth, Wind, and Fire. And people like the Ohio Players, you know. For the record, I'm a funketeer, and I love funk music. And as a matter of fact, I still do funk music in my gospel. But at the time, the blues and the jazz cats, they didn't like what we was doing. And don't mention Parliament Funkadelic. That was considered to be cartoon music, which is some of my most favorite music. So I tried, you know. So what I try to do is realize, okay, that every generation is going to have its own, and the older generation, it's not going to like certain elements of it. And some of the elements may be bad, but most of it's good. So making that statement, I've learned to respect DJs because now those are my students, okay? Not just anybody. Trust me, I tried DJing for 3 years, okay? And I was pretty good at it, okay? But after DJing, I learned the guys that could keep people on the dance floor, that's a talent too. All right, so if you see a guy up on stage and getting everybody going and everybody's going with them, you got to respect how hard it is to do that. But the guys that's good at that, they study Earth, Wind & Fire, Ramsey Lewis, Duke Ellington. You know, you talk to some of these guys and they know more history of music than you do.
So I
guess I'm saying you got to put it in perspective to each generation.
So what you're saying, though, is those people that are going for the DJ, they're going to dance. They're not going to see a show.
Well, they're just going to see a different kind of show.
Oh.
So that's the whole thing. Like, for example,
a guy playing some songs and then fireworks.
Watch this. You can't get me to sit through accordion music.
And this girl right here, she gives a dollar to the accordion player at Venice Beach every single time she sees him.
Now, I'm not saying anything's wrong with accordion music, but it's just not my flavor, and that's what I'm saying. It's up to the audience. There's an old statement saying 5 million people in China just can't be wrong.
Oh, no, that's France.
No, well, France, you know.
So China. It is China.
And I guess I'm saying it's up to the people that's listening, you know.
True.
You know, brings this statement, different strokes for different folks.
Oh.
Well, do you think because nowadays the younger generation is so into the electronics, I mean, everybody has their iPhone or their notebook or their laptop or something, that I think they've tended to become a little bit desensitized or whatever for real life type of stuff because they're so used to the electronic age. So when they see a guy up there that's, you know, doing electronics and, you know, they're just not used to seeing a live performance of
music. Well, wait a second. Playing. I think they just don't care. I think they don't care. The guy's up there with his iPhone and they're having a conversation anyway because he ain't doing nothing.
Well,
look at that lady right there. She looks like she's caring. She looks very caring. So, I mean, I see what you're saying, but I don't see what you're saying.
Well, let's put it in perspective. I went back to school.
Wait a minute. Let's put it in positive perspective.
Okay, positive perspective. Okay. I went back to school and took a audio engineering class just to refresh myself. And the head of the program had a phonograph, an old phonograph machine that you turn. And he says, this machine made history. He says, before this, the only way you got to hear somebody, you had to go to the actual concert. Mm-hmm. All right? So imagine this. So technology allowed people to have the concert recorded where they can have it in their own living room. So the people that was doing the live bands, they had to be saying, well, isn't that going to change how people view music? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's why I'm saying you got to put it in perspective. So, yes, it is changing because for folks that didn't want to go out to concert, they had the concert in their living room. Mm-hmm. And especially in our generation when CDs came along, you know, it sounded just like the real concert.
Right.
You know, no noise in the background, and you can listen to it. So now, now the quality is even more worse than CD because, remember, MP3, okay, it's like less quality than 44.1, you know, getting all
tech. Oh, serious?
Yeah. But, okay, now people have choice that you didn't have before. Remember a few years ago, you could only buy the records that the record companies put out. But now, okay, if a person's got a YouTube like this radio station, it's on the internet, right? Well, people have another choice. So I guess what I'm saying, there's pros and cons
in everything.
So yeah, we're gonna lose some other things, you know. But okay, you can always go to a concert and go hear somebody live.
Right, right. Your choice, more choices.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know what? Now, producing. Now, you used to come to my house.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say Norris, because I'm not a musician by any standard of the word.
No, you.
Yeah, I know, but
okay.
I'm not. Okay, wait a second.
He's a good musician.
If I was a musician, then, well, that I guess that's my question. You'd come to my house, and I say, Norris, I got this idea. I wanted us to do a song, and I would, like, just either sing it to you, or I'd have, like, a few chords or something, and you would take that idea and that whatever I gave you, and you would turn it into something. What do you call that? Is that called production, or what is that
one
called?
One part of it is production, but when it comes to the end results, okay? But the other part of it is arranging and songwriting, too.
Uh-huh.
All right? So when you was giving it to me, you was giving me the initial idea, and so at that point, we were writing, okay? Then when you decide, well, okay, should a bass line go to it, of course. Okay, should a keyboard part? Should we put strings? Okay, that's the arranging part of it and compositional part, mm-hmm. putting the rest of it together. Then making sure it's mixed, edited, and vocals and all that,
mm-hmm.
and bringing the whole project together, that's production.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay, so tonight, and I mean, I'm gonna play this. Shantae and I, we wrote this play.
Okay.
And that's only the only reason I tricked you into coming. is because I need you to hear this, man. You've been so busy because you got an album about to drop, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And I had to get you to listen to this because I want you to do something with it.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to play it, okay? And I'm just going to do it just like the old days.
Okay.
All right.
Are we going to have the in-depth discussions that went on to after midnight like the old days?
Well.
We're not at that level yet.
Wait a minute. A lot of people don't know that me and Willis got real close because most of the time we did not agree until the end of the night.
Exactly.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a little melody. And what it is, the song is, it's called I Don't Know. And what it is, it's Kieran Wendell. It's a play about a homeless war veteran that's paralyzed from the waist down, and she's a volunteer at a VA hospital, whatever, and they have like this relationship going, and they're on their way to this party, and that she invited him to, and he's lonely because he's this, and she's been hurt before, and she's going through that whole thing of not trusting, mm-hmm. and when he was, you know, got injured in the war, his woman left him, and he's hurt, she's hurt, and he likes her, but she has different plans. So this song is about that relationship. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just let you okay, second verse. I'm not going to do Shantae's girl. Okay. Okay, let me see if I can do this now. Okay. Okay. Yeah, we knew it was love, so we made our plans and found a church. Happiness after a long and desperate search. Feeling for the first time the true joys of living life. When we took our vows, she said better or for worse. Things got bad, packed her bags, grabbed her purse. Pushing me back lonely on the outside. Ooh, it's so cold here on the outside. And okay, now the little catch, it's here. Okay, but here. Okay. Oh, this is just like it used to be, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, but
wait a minute. Minus him playing the guitar.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I don't know if I can love again. I'll say,
I don't know if I can touch or trust again. And I want this. That's gonna pop, 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 pow.
Okay.
I don't know if I can love again. Something's wrong, something's gone, and I just don't know if I. Okay, now, he doesn't need the guitar. He's already got in his mind the key, the chords, and everything. He's already got that in his brain. He didn't even need this guitar. Okay, but the second part of it, because they have their lines, but they want to try, so I want to get funky, because I'm Christian, mm-hmm. but I'm funky otherwise. I. Okay, let me see if I get... Okay. Now, that sounds funky, don't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
And I want to state once again, he didn't have the guitar before. He was just kind of giving me the beat with his mouth.
Yeah.
The beatbox with his mouth. So that's all I was getting before.
Okay, so I think I want to try again. Okay, I'm getting into it. I said I want to try. And it's like, you know, like kind of funky and hard. Try. Oh, girl. You know, so it's that whole thing. Now, what I want you to do is you can listen to this, or me and you can talk, but I want you to arrange this, and then we're going to bring it back and let people hear what's going on with it, all right?
Let's do it. I like it. I can't wait.
All right, so I'm glad that's out of the way, but that's that's basically how it would go down, is that you would come to the house, mm-hmm. and I did a song about rats down on Skid Row.
I remember that.
We're rats, and we're hungry.
And understand this, that I had not seen the not 1 ounce of puppeteering at all. So if it wasn't for your vibrant personality, and probably more so Denise cooking, too. You know, I was almost out of there a couple of times. I'm like,
okay, but... that, you know, that I did a lot of work and still doing work on Skid Row. Mm-hmm. And that seems what the Lord just keeps bringing me back.
Well, matter of fact, let me state this. That's the other thing, of course, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Denise's food was the swaying factor. But, okay, when you was telling me what you was doing, you know, and let me say this. Where I have always been in ministry, I didn't want to do ministry as usual. Okay. I wanted to do ministry that was special, and I wanted to team with people that's doing ministry that's special. And so when you was telling me about what you was doing in your vision, and then I'm seeing it slowly but surely come together, okay, well, that's why I had to stay to find out what else, you know.
Bro.
And like I said, and then when I seen the play, but even more so, you know, just the love that you've shown to people. I've seen you show to people and helping people, even myself, because he don't know it. But at one time out of nowhere, he helped me out, and he didn't know. Matter of fact, remember prior to I was with Andrew, I was going through a very horrible divorce, and you and your wife was very helpful to me. So some of those times I was over there, it was like I had the comfort of family.
Yeah,
you know, because you know, I've been invited to be a part of the family events and stuff. Come on over, Norris. You know, and so watching ministry in action. Sometimes we get caught up in traditions and a social club type of thing, but watching people who really do ministry from the heart, and that's the main thing that started catching me with everything that you was doing. So I just want to let you know that.
Okay, that's enough about. Talking about me now. Do you want to talk about me some now? Never mind. Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Norris, but I need to say the same thing to you, is that, you know, the gift that you have and the talent that you have, you were coming down and you were spending a lot of time with my ministry for hardly no money. And you know, I really appreciate your talent, because I really see that, and that you were, you know, spending that time and, you know, fussing and fighting with me and arguing and that whole thing. But,
you wasn't making much money doing it. So I really do appreciate that. Okay.
Now we got that out of the way. I think we better do like the halftime announcements. Okay, how do I do the name? Right? She always tried to tell me what to do.
You don't want me to do this?
You can visit us at iTunes.com to Downtown Podcast from the previous shows. If you'd like to call in, our number is 800-893-9562. Best impressions start at home. Elite for affordable prices. That's Living Large Furniture. Again, Living Large Furniture. You can call Richard at 951-214-8555. For Interest Talk Radio, make sure you tune in to a Kumwam Report with Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Arlene Anthony, Monday at 8 p.m. live at Skid Row Studios. Drama Stage Kumwam has a weekly Veterans Theater Workshop, also led by Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Arlene Anthony. The workshop is on Wednesday night from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. A free course in stage managing, playwriting, and more. If you'd like more information, you can contact Melvin at 213-908-6567 or email dramastage1@yahoo.com. We'd like to thank our professional engineer, Cheyenne. You're doing a great job. Thank you very much.
Wait, what about her boyfriend?
And her boyfriend, too? If you'd like to be part of our show through sponsorship, you can contact us at 951-789-1046. If you'd like to learn more about Positive Light Ministries and donate, please visit our website, positivelight.org, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. Now, back to our discussion.
Cheyenne, can you put the show out there, the sound? Yeah. Okay, we're back, and this half of the show, we are going to talk to Mr. Norris about his up-and-coming album, getting ready to drop, and inspirations behind it, and just hear it, check it out, and we're going to put something on. The first song is Teardrop Prayer.
There's a woman who walks the street at night. For some drugs, she's willing to sell her body. She wants to stop, but the drive is just too strong. With tears in her eyes, she cries, "Lord, help me, please. Here's your prayer. It's just a teardrop prayer. Don't you give up. For he hears your tears. Lost his job. No food for his family, and soon they have no home. He's done his best, and yet he still feels cursed. He says, "Look at me, God. What am I to do? Why have you abandoned me?" But I want to let you know, he hears your prayer. Just a teardrop prayer. situation
or your situation.
No matter how alone you might
you
feel,
might feel alone.
No matter how abandoned you might feel,
abandoned.
I'm trying to tell you that God is there.
But God is there.
And he hears your prayer.
And, he's going to deliver you.
He's going to be there.
To be there.
Woman over there, she just lost her child. Two gangs were fighting, and a bullet pierced her child's heart. All the hope and dreams have been torn away, and she cries, Lord, they took my child. They took my child. Your prayers,
said he hears.
He hears your
prayers.
Or it's a teardrop prayer.
It's a teardrop prayer.
I'm trying to tell you, don't give up.
Said, don't you dare.
Don't you dare
give up.
Oh, oh, oh. Because he hears your tears.
He hears
your every prayer.
For myself, and I found out that God is a healer. Oh, when it took mama, I didn't think I could go on. But I'm trying to tell you about God.
Mr. Evans, I'm flabbergasted. Now, who wrote it?
I wrote it. It was co-produced and co-arranged by my mentor, Doug Lambert. Okay, and of course, background vocals came from Angie.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's sweet, man. I like it a lot.
Very nice.
And Angie, did you help with the writing or
no,
just did your job, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I hear you, and you sound awesome as always.
Thank you.
Okay. We can talk later. I mean, we're going to just go ahead and focus on this music because it's pretty powerful, Norris. I like it a lot. That's jamming. What was your inspiration?
Ministry. When I first went into the ministry, we was on the streets of Long Beach dealing with the homeless, people on drugs, and it was a crisis situation during that time period when I first started in the 80s, you know. And it was just written from what I saw, you know. A lot of people put in desperate situations, having habits, as the song talked about, or people just losing their house, and they're looking up to God. And so, you know, God just gave me a teardrop prayer. You know, sometimes, you know, it's not what you're saying or what you're feeling, but it's just what's coming from that tear. That's going to God, and I believe God. He hears your prayers, or he hears your tears.
He hears your tear. He hears your teardrop. Is it something you wrote a while back, or is it something that recently?
It was written a long time ago. Matter of fact, this particular album, a lot of songs was written between my 20s and 30s, but I didn't have the technology to do it, or the time, you know. This is finally the first time that I said, you know what, I'm going to stop doing stuff for everybody and finish this album, you know. And because you'd be surprised, I was doing a lot of stuff for everybody, and every time I look around, and I say, okay, I'm going to do mine, and then I get a phone call. And so this time, what a friend told me, he says, it's a federal offense not to deliver the mail. And then I finally got it. You know, God gave me a message. I need to deliver the mail. So.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. All right. But who did the engineering and stuff?
I did the engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's me engineering. I'm using all my skills, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. I did bring in some help. Like I said, Doug Lambert, you might know him from Barry White. He was with Barry White for a number of years. And he's my mentor in the music industry. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I call on him, he comes and help me out.
Well, I hear some real nice stuff going on in that, you know. If we could hear that second piece. And that one is called...
I Am a Witness.
That's nice. That is nice. And I'm like checking them out over there. And they're like, how do you just sit still like that? I don't know how you do it. I can't do that. I'm like, that's just making me want to move. The guitar and the horns. I know you think I noticed them horns. But that's cold, Norris. I mean, you went like from one and then you kind of, this is kind of old school, but it's got like a little hip-hop flavor. Yeah. And
my nephew, Doug Williams, he's out on tour with Andy Grammer and with Loudbox. Mm-hmm. So he co-produced the album with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, and Angie and then Sheena Nelson is doing the background vocals. On guitar, Dominique Fuente.
Mm-hmm. Oh, serious? That's not, no. See, whenever I see you,
I know.
I'm thinking electronic. Okay, so
I'm using some tricks,
uh-huh,
but I am using real people in there too.
Oh, okay. I'm
see,
like,
he knows some of my tricks, so.
Oh, okay. So, anyway, that's very, very nice. And did you like that? Did you guys like that? Had a nice feel. I mean, could you dance to it? How they used to do on a bandstand. From 1 to 10, what? 1 to 10. You get a 10? And
a 9.
You give it a 9?
No, he gave it a 9.
Okay. I gotta take a little break right now and answer this call real quick. And Melvin Ishmael Johnson, go ahead and put him on.
Hi, Melvin.
Hey, Willis and Denise, great show, man. I'm over here checking it out, enjoying the music and all of that, man. Yeah, great show.
That's Norris Evans, and did you just hear that last piece?
Yeah, I heard both of them.
Okay.
Great pieces, man.
Could you, was you moving your feet? I know you're not one of them dancing type. You like the cool kind of, you know, that kind. But did it make you tap that foot a little?
Yeah, it got me moving around. Outstanding guest. So glad to have a chance to meet and listen to it.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Melvin. So everything good?
Yeah, great knowledge of that time period. I did have a question and a comment. The comment is, I sure would like to hear from some of your other guests. I saw the little beautiful young baby running around
here. Oh, yeah. We just try to keep them stifled.
Here's the question I would like to ask you and your guests. How do you mix the message of your ministry with the arts, like music and theater and dance?
Well, first of all...
of course.
Okay. I'm going to say this. I've learned more about theater just from hanging with Willis, which inspired me when I went back to school to take a theater class to understand more. Mixing all these different forms of entertainment, which being a puppeteer, which is a whole nother element to it too, okay, is amazing to me in itself, you know. Willis, from what I've seen him do, and you if you haven't seen one of his shows, you got to see one of his shows, okay? Because it's mixing music, songwriting, the art of theater, and then once again the element of puppeteering, and then carrying a message, because his plays have deep, intense messages to it. Okay, so yeah, so I don't know if I'm answering your question, but matter of fact, I'm gonna let Willis take over because he's more of the expert in that area than I am.
Well, I know why he asked this question, because it's going right back to him. He's the one that mentored me, mentored me for this show,
okay,
by giving me a half hour spot on his show.
Okay.
And then it's his playwriting class that we go to, creative writing.
Oh,
so that
okay.
the inspiration behind Kieran Wendell is from his class. I mean, but yeah, puppet shows are basically plays for puppets, but he's taught me a great deal about, you know, writing and getting into it, and I still have a lot to learn. But yeah, I know what you're doing, Melvin. I know exactly what you're doing.
Well, I'm asking you, you know, because when you look at music today, especially in relationship to the church, you know, when you go back into the past, the church music was a distinctive type of music. And, you know, it kind of separated themselves from the other type of music that was out there. And now, I think what you see, just about all of the musical forms have gotten behind the word. You know, the word of the church. I've seen all rock, all that kind of stuff, rap, jazz, blues, you know, church utilizing that to get that message out. That's what I meant in relationship to that.
Okay, I got you. Well, okay, let's go back much further when musicians had to get a commission from the Catholic Church or a duke and an earl, okay, to get their music out. A lot of people don't know, like Bach, okay, he got a commission from the church as well as some of the monarchs, okay. Now, in order for him to get his music out there, okay, there was a condition. And one part of the condition, the church or the duke or the earl, whoever was hiring him to do it, had to like the music, okay? Now, hopefully the people that he was working for were spiritual and could understand when there was a spiritual thing, which that's why we know about Bach. But there was a whole bunch of other musicians, okay, as well as artists, and they're on the loo, okay, who wasn't working for spiritual people, and they didn't get a chance to get the work out there until much later, which that's a point in itself. I think we have to go to the scripture to understand that God's word is never going to come back void. You know, a lot of times, a lot of things is going on. We may not understand what's going on, but the question is his word getting out there, and is the message getting out there without being tainted? And I think we have to look at a lot of the forms of music that are out there, okay, are for different people. Like, for example, I like funk music, okay? Now, country western may not necessarily be my form of music.
It's not mine.
Okay, but for some people, they have to hear the message through country western. So I think what we have to look at is that God got all his avenues to reach people and make sure nobody's left behind. I think that's the point. I don't think that I should go to a place that's geared towards country western and do funk music. That doesn't make sense. And I think that's more of the case of what's happening, that some of the music is done in venues that it shouldn't be done in.
Well, you know what? If you go to a Christian country church and do funk music, you're going to get lynched.
by the way, okay, I got to go with what Paul says, too. When you're in Rome, you know, so like for example, when we, the name of the group is the House of Power.
Wait a minute. You're so crazy. So you're trying to say that Paul said when in Rome, do what Romans do?
Well, let me put a little bit more doctrine behind that. Be mindful of the customs, okay?
Okay, there you go.
You know, because if everybody's getting so hot that they're taking off their clothes, I don't think that's what Paul said that we should do. But we should be mindful of the customs, and then through a Christian manner, find a way to minister the gospel. And I think that's what's more important than anything else, is finding the best way to minister the gospel without compromise. Okay, because I think, too, there is a lot of compromise going on. I'm not going to name people or and I'm trying not to criticize, but there is compromise going on out there. Yeah. But that's their problem. My thing is, for example, the year before last, we was in Whittier, California, and so we wasn't doing gospel like Kirk Franklin and stuff like that. We had to do Chris Tomlin. Okay, and we had no problem with that because that's what they were more receptive to. So I guess the point is the style. That's all we talk about is style and the beat, okay? As long as the message is there, okay, we gear our style towards what they'll receive, mm-hmm. you know? And I guess that's more what we have to look mm-hmm. at than anything else. And then also, too, I have a lot of rappers, right? And some of these rappers, they want to throw curse words in their song, and they sound like they got Tourette's syndrome. And I'm like, well, is there another way you could have said that creatively? You know, you're making a point, but do you have to curse to mm-hmm. say it, or do you have to put a woman down or yourself down? You know, and I think being truly autistic, you find creative ways to express yourself.
But you might not get rich necessarily.
Well, you know, this
come on, Norris.
This is true. This is true, but I can absolutely say that your top rappers are very creative.
Yeah.
I agree with what they're saying. Macklemore had a song out, which prospectively, from a Christian perspective, I don't agree with it, okay? But it was so creative, I believe it helped change the law. And so what I'm talking about is the impact of creativity. Okay. So I think, you know, we as Christian writers, entertainers, we need to be more creative, maybe.
Yeah, but you know what? It just seems like, and like what you're saying, I understand what you're saying, is because, I mean, they come up with all kinds of creative avenues to get their points across.
Yes.
And it just seems like Christians can't do that, or we might not necessarily have the freedom of speech and to get it across like that. And that's just what it seems like. I think Christian music is coming up more, and people are being more creative with everything. And there's a lot of people out there I haven't even heard. But as far as creativity, I mean, they're all off the hook. You know, I'm just saying, it's awesome what these guys are doing, you know, lyrically. And, I mean, they're cussing and doing everything else. But, man, the concept of what they're putting across...
Let's look at it like this, too. One thing, like I think I was sharing with you the other night, like there's this group called Snarky Puppy.
Yeah, I remember Snarky. And you know what? Shantae didn't know of that group. Yeah.
Okay, you know, we can look and say, well, you know, music is going down the drain. But
not.
Well, some there's some people that might want to say that.
Okay. Oh no, no. Melvin, we're going to have to let you go. Hope that answered your question, but we got to play one more song that Norris is getting out there, and I really appreciate your call.
Okay, great show, and I'll continue to listen.
All right, thank you. Okay, yeah. All right, yeah. No. Man, you
we
know
can
what?
Go on all night.
you guys got to meet. He was going to try to be here, but you guys got to absolutely
wait.
Meet.
I can't wait.
Oh, man. And this one is I Love Jesus.
No, greater love than a man could have. A one who will lay down his life for a friend. This is Jesus' love. How he cared for us, that he loved us so. He gave his life on Calvary.
Okay, Norris, time, I mean, gosh, that Melvin, and I mean, you guys are brainiacs, all right? And that's all to it. But we're running out of time, and I want you to get your information out right now about the album, about your contacts and all that. So go ahead and go for that.
Basically, I'll give you an email, unclekknow@gmail.com. So email me any information that you need, or you can get in touch with me through Positive Life Ministries, and you have that information. Or you can call me 818-913-2966, you know.
And the name of your album and all that kind of good stuff?
It's called He Arose.
He Arose. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say about that? Angie, you want to say something.
Well,
you want to say? Sorry about that. Yeah, I got
no. Just get in touch with me. I'll. We're working situation with churches and ministries, fundraisers to help. You know, so just get in touch with me. Like I say, through that email or Positive Life Ministries, and you know, we'll go from there. You know.
Okay, so we're gonna wrap up this show. I think it's very good. Golly, that's all I gotta say. All right. So, something else over there? No, yeah. Something else?
I
got mustard on my lip. I was just trying to remind my husband that you can be able to purchase a few of his songs.
Oh, that's right.
Which is important.
Norris Evans and the House of Power. Yeah, actually, there's two songs on iTunes, Amazon.com. So just look up Norris Evans and the House of Power. And, you know, you can get two preview songs right now on iTunes or Amazon.com or Spotify or one of those places.
Okay, go ahead for it, niece.
Remember, we are never more like Jesus Christ than we are when we are forgiving, loving, and creating.
And that's the show. And I appreciate y'all. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys out in the room.
What?